is going to be talking about her life and times, and it's a very difficult conversation to listen to, but please stay with us, and it's a hugely positive finish that comes very quickly through the conversation. So, B, tell me a little bit about your life and times.
So I've had a difficult childhood, difficult challenges I've faced. I left home at 15. My abuse started young, very young. I've been through self-harm, through addictions, through having nobody to turn to, and then being abused by people in the system, being abused by people in power that you should trust. And I've had no hope and been stripped by my identity to a point where I've lost myself in this world and had to become a part of the rat race. And that's, it's when I look back and I'm sat here telling you this, it's kind of surreal. I'm not going to lie to you. I didn't think I'd see past 21, if I'm honest. And being here and with what I've built and how far I've come, it's for all those children who have been in this position and the child that still is suffering in silence.
So if you're sat at home and you know somebody that's in a situation where they can't express themselves, where they don't have a voice, he's going to be giving you some advice and information and support. And we're going to be talking about an organisation which helped get her through a very difficult life and become the very, well, what words can I say? You're a beautiful young lady. You've got a beautiful daughter, Little B, who is 7 on the 23rd of August. So yes. Big shout out to you, B.
Mini B.
I'm 70 the next day. So you and I, B, Mini B, we've got something to celebrate in a couple of weeks. But turning back to seriousness now, horrible, horrible start to life. There's no other way to put it.
No, horrendous. I was bullied at school to begin with, and that's where it all started for me. Peer pressure, illegal substances being introduced, sexual favours or the behaviour being introduced, thinking it as a norm, being hurt physically, being abused mentally, emotionally, and groomed by people you're supposed to trust. In my schooling life, massively, where a lot of it started emotionally, where I've been told to think a certain way, act a certain way, and if I don't do that, I'm dirty, I'm not good enough. And when that's been instilled into you for 20 years of my life, you believe it. God, it takes, I think, 6 months for somebody to say to you, it's a scientific fact. If someone's saying to you every day, you're rubbish, you're worthless, you're disgusting, you've got to do as I say, nobody's going to listen to you, nobody's going to believe anything you say, you start believing them. Then they take advantage of that. And those are people that you should trust. And that's why I lost all trust and faith, not only in the system, in people around me that were supposed to look after me. And as I've progressed slowly, it's been a massive impact. I turned to addiction very young. I turned to looking for love, looking for acceptance in those places that are very dark, really dark. You can't make it up. You honestly can't make it up. I've been beaten up by men, you know, as a child, multiple men. I've been abused in ways you couldn't fathom. And to then think, actually, this is a norm. I actually started believing this is how life is meant to be. Maybe I need to turn ruthless. Maybe I need to turn a bit aggressive. And I went through that cycle. It's all a part of this trauma cycle. Not one person helped. I was referred to the care service system, care social services care system, referred to other organisations that are supposed to help young people. And it's almost like it's a tick box system. It's a system where as long as they've done what they need to do and it's a sheet of paper, name, date of birth, have you attended this course? You're fixed now. If you're not fixed, there's something wrong with you. You're a bad kid. You're out of control. You're stupid. You're thick. And then where do you turn to? You're going to turn to the streets. you're going to turn to people that are dangerous, because they'll accept you and take you and they'll groom you further.
Because they treat you.
They give you money, they reward
alcohol,
you.
Alcohol, drugs.
They'll say nice, compliment you.
They'll make you feel something worthwhile.
That you're accepted. That's all a child wants, to be accepted, to be understood.
And that's the common theme. Every grooming scandal that hits the headlines has that as the huge theme. People in positions of authority or support who don't do enough. That's your message.
100%. There's still people out there. Even through my case, I was a missing child 18 years ago for 7 days. And throughout my case and the turmoil and the mental impacts on all the information of it, from FLOs, that's family liaison officers, to CID officers, to officers in charge. I remember being examined, and I'll share this, by a sexual forensic nurse. And I was 14 or 13 at the time, because I left home at 15, and I'd been abused. And she made a comment to say, "It's only one more. I'm sure they're all fine. You survived. Hopefully you haven't got an STD." That was her comment. 18 years later, that nurse, she's probably not listening today. She's probably retired. It's been so impactful, and it was just horrific the way she commented so carelessly, knowing what had happened to me. And just, it's just another whatever going up here.
So that throwaway line resonated, hurt, and damaged.
100%. I still remember it to this day. I'm 32 now. It happened to me when I was 13, 14.
And the fact that it's a vivid memory tells me, and you at home, the damage that comment did.
And when people say mental health isn't real, it is. When you've been through a traumatic experience, and everybody goes through things differently in life. Everybody has different challenges and deals with them differently. Nobody is less than anybody. But don't ever, please, ridicule anyone. Think twice, because that young person, it will turn them into steel, because that's what happened to me. I turned into, nothing could hurt me. Nothing now can break me, because I've had to live through it.
Because you can't afford to open yourself.
I can't.
And that must damage relationships.
It does. I find it difficult to trust. I find it difficult to get close to people. If I feel like I am, I have to push them away. Just the fear of not only losing somebody, but then being alone. I don't want that, so I'm better off just me. It's easier, isn't it?
And your daughter.
And my daughter, yeah, of course.
Because now you have a world.
She's the reason I'm here.
Yeah.
She's one of the many reasons I'm here, but yeah, she saved me. I'm proud of her.
And you're listening, little B.
Mini B is listening.
Oh, Mini B, sorry.
She's listening. She's tuned in. She's listening to Mum today. And I'm very proud to say, for years, when I've looked back at what's happened to me, and there's so many other young children right now. I'm sat here right now, and there's some child somewhere that's listening to their parents arguing. They can hear a sexual assault maybe at night. They can hear plate smashing. They're getting beaten up, coming in and out of the bathroom. If they're not stood up straight, they've been belted still to this day. And if you're that child, maybe they're not listening. But if you were that child then, and you're that man or woman now sat there thinking, wow, do you know what, that happened to me? Speak out. Because it's never too late. It's about you. And that's what I'm here for. To be a hope. To be a light. Because I didn't have that. And so many people still don't have it.
But the point you've made already is that when you spoke to people, they didn't actively listen to what you were saying.
No, I was lying.
They paid lip service to what you were saying. And I find that so shocking. What you've endured, beggars belief in this day and age. But as you say, from what you've heard, seen, it's still ongoing.
I have cases come to me through various channels, and people are crying for help. And because the system is corrupt, there is nobody that's getting to the root cause. And that's the problem. I will hold people accountable. I want people to be held accountable. This cycle can't be broken until that happens. It can't. And there's still so many people, they come for help. I'm an anchor for those that need to hear something, that there's a savior or hope out there. But we have to stand united. We have to move forward. And there's more to be done. And I will do it. I will.
How did you get from where you were to where you are now?
It's a miracle. It's a bloody miracle. 2.5 years ago, as I've mentioned, it's a part of the trauma cycle. And being that child who's been let down, and it becomes a vicious cycle. So 9 times out of 10, men and women, if they've not been exposed to addiction or substances or some form of abuse, they will turn to relationships that are, they settle for, that they deem as appropriate, because that's all they know. But in fact, it's abuse. The abuse continues. So that's what happened to me. And unfortunately, so 2.5 years ago, it was hard. And I was then referred by an officer in charge to Withenshaw Safe Spots as part of my recovery from domestic violence. Never in my life have I been through domestic violence before that, because all the times I've been abused is as a child. So I've been groomed and radicalized. And I used to think, and it was very naive of me, and I've said this to my TikTokers and all my, the amazing people in here now, I've said I could never understand why a man or a woman would be with someone and just settle for that. I never understood it till it happened to me. And it happened to me where my identity was stripped. I mean, I didn't know who I was. I didn't even know what food I was eating. I used to stand and eat, for example. Anyway, so the OIC, the officer in charge, referred me to Withenshaw Safe Spots. And I laughed and I said, another organisation, yeah? Taking all this money, refunding and councils, and what are they going to do for me? Are they going to tick another box for me? Are they going to throw me to the side and I'm going to go back to where I was? But this time it was different because I had my daughter. And I said, it's never going to happen to me again, because I will not allow this around my daughter. I would never allow my daughter to go through it. I'd protect her. So for sake, just for argument's sake, and I think just for the protocol, I said, okay, let's attend this meeting. Let's go and tick a box. And I remember 2.5 years ago, I sat in the office at Withenshaw Safe Spots and I walked in with a vengeance. I had my shades on. I had this big black duffel night coat on with my shorts, storming in like this. And I sat down with the lady, and my actual support worker at the time wasn't available. And I don't think anybody wanted to see me because they were intimidated. They thought, bloody hell, who's this? That's walked in, dead angry. I was still that kid. There was a lot of anguish inside me. I was still that child because it's a big trigger.
You had anger.
Oh, yeah.
At the system. Yeah. At everything and everybody.
No trust, no hope.
Yeah.
You know when a lead balloon deflates?
Yeah.
That's how I feel every time someone says, oh, we'll help you. So anyway, I thought, right, I had no expectations. And I sat down and I'm telling you now, it was 2.5 years ago. I sat in that room for nearly 3 hours. I am eating my words, and I never apologize. And I don't say the words love and hate often. The words I use very little in vocabulary because they're overused. I sat there with this lady for 3 hours, and I walked out being heard. And I said to her, this woman, I said, are you sure you're not in on it? I said, are you sure you're not setting me up to do something to me? I couldn't believe it. She goes, no, we want to help you. We want you to find you. I said, how are you going to do that?
That's the first time that's ever happened to you.
First time ever in 20, since I was 15, I'm 32, so nearly 18 years. It's the first time someone's put their hand out and actually held me. The first time in nearly 2 decades, someone said to me, B, we're going to help you and we're actually going to see it through. And because of those people, I've had the courage and the hope to find myself. I've never known who I was because my identity was stripped as a child. And it just chipped away, chipped away, chipped away. And I finally found who I am. And I'm B.
it's hard looking and listening at you, to you, that you were different. So within your safe spots, anybody connected with that great organisation, and hopefully they'll be coming on one of my shows very soon. Well done. You've turned somebody's life around.
Mine and my daughter's. Thank you so much.
Two lives.
Two lives. And I always say, if you can have one person, that's enough. One person.
Making that difference.
And it's sometimes overwhelming. It was very overwhelming for me when someone's showing you that compassion and there's no hidden agenda. They don't want to abuse you. They don't want to kick seven bells at you. They don't want to traffic you. And I was, it's a bit surreal. And again, that's how I've broken the trauma cycle for me and my daughter, realising what is appropriate, where the boundaries are. So thank you to Within Shore Safe Spots for that and the support you've given me.
It's horrendous to hear that they were the first organisation to really hold out a helping hand that was meant and fulfil their obligations.
Yeah, 100%.
And get you to where you are.
It's just crazy because there's so many organisations out there, large organisations we all know about. And I was on this one organisation when I was on a high risk threat to life with my daughter. They offered me a safe house, emergency safe house, 270 miles away from Manchester, knowing I had no money because he'd taken my money, knowing I had no way of getting there because of the fear of even leaving and being caught by the perpetrator or their family.
So you weren't even offered transport?
No, nothing.
You were expected to make your own way, 270 miles, the other end of the country.
Yeah, to start a new life, just like that.
With nothing?
With nothing.
Apart from a young daughter?
That's it. No clothes on my back, nothing. I don't carry anything, and I had nowhere.
And that's an organisation that is funded to look after people.
Yeah, women.
In distress.
Yeah, that have fled abuse. They help, yeah, they help children, and it's shocking. Shocking's a mild word, to be honest. I think it's incompetent. I think it's horrendous. I think it's preposterous. I think people need to be held accountable, and this is why I'm doing what I'm doing now, to make a positive impact and fulfil what these children need, to give hope to those men and women that still suffer with their demons till this day, because these organisations don't help.
Somebody like me, upper working class, family orientated, great granddaughter born this morning, as I shared with you offline. Yeah. So life is good. To hear that organisations that are funded to look after people in dire straits, in desperate need, tick boxes, is just unbelievable.
But I believe it, it's happening, and it's still happening. And it needs to stop.
And people are coming to you because of your public presence, the message that you're sending out. You know this.
I know. I hear firsthand of other men and women. The failures.
It is men and women.
Men and women.
It's not a women only situation. And people seem to forget that it's as well as boys and girls being groomed, abused. It's men and women.
Women. And this is where equality needs to be driven more and more. And people look at me and they think, you know what, we trust her. And even to give one person that lie and that hope to think, you know what, all you need to do is listen and not judge them and not just tick a box, you know, like just treat them like this number or this piece of flesh. And to just accept that this is who they are. And it's a shame. It's a big shame, and shame on you all who don't fulfill the needs of those you should. Shame on you that you can sleep at night, because you should be ashamed of yourselves, honestly.
And again, that's a theme for, we read about it all the time, that there's been a failure in the system. People not really fulfilling the role for whatever reason. Sometimes it's the workload. Sometimes it's the effect of the workload on that individual. And we can't move away from the fact that there are lots of people out there that do help those in need.
Of course there are.
It's not just one person at Within Shore Safe Spots. There are people, whether you're listening at home or know somebody like that. So just to give a little balance, it's more about the system and the way the system seems to allow it to continue without addressing the needs of the individual and listening to the voice of the child.
Correct. Absolutely on point, Mike. And it's a shame, again, though, that those that do help, they're not given the recognition because they're doing things right. And it's, again, it's the selfishness and greed of those that are a part of this corruption, this larger scale of grooming and monetary gain and self-gratification. And I've had, for example, recently, in the last 12 months, I've seen more abuse politically and professionally than I ever have in the 20 years of being out as a kid, even on the streets and off the streets. It's abhorrent and it's scary. And people need to know how to stay safe. And this is exactly what I set out to do, to raise awareness, to, instead of young people being driven to the dark side of life, to bring them out and actually to be able to express their emotions. And it's not wrong for them to feel a certain way. They can't speak.
No, it's not wrong. No. They need an audience, a listening ear.
100%.
That will give them time.
Time. And that's what people don't have. A lot of people and organisations, I should say, as a whole, and I'd say 80%, they don't have time. They just want to get their job done and go home.
They don't have time, partly because there's only one of them when maybe there should be two.
True.
And maybe they're not the right person in that role.
And they shouldn't be in the role?
Correct. But that's organisations should challenge themselves and be prepared to be challenged. And rather than we term it as a cover-up, and how many organisations can you think of in recent times that have been found guilty of covering up failures within their system?
I can think of six in my head right now.
We won't name them.
No, we won't.
We won't name them.
That's a lot.
But I'm sure you at home won't have to stretch that memory bank very far to remember those examples that make the headlines. We have a review. It takes a long time for that review to come through. And almost invariably, the findings have common themes. When we don't address situations, and it has to come from the top. B is doing her level best here in Within Shore with people that listen to her story, that trust her to do the right thing for them. But it comes from the top down. That's where the culture has to change. And I hope that this message that B is relaying so powerfully gets heard by one person that can make a difference in the system, not to an individual, to change the system. B, where are we now? Tell me about your life now.
My life now is like a dream. I'm living the dream.
You deserve to.
I am. I want to start with saying I've stopped surviving. I've started living.
Great.
And when you start living, life feels different. We all have flaws. We all struggle. We all have our challenges. And it's how we maintain a balance. And when you found that, that's like winning the lottery to me. I'm rich in gratitude, in health. I'm founder, proud owner of Project TOT, my organisation supporting young people affected by abuse. And that's where I'm at right now. It's a dream.
Can you just give that a shout out again?
Project TOT.
Limited.
Yep. I'm the founder. I'm the drive. I'm the force. I'm the passion behind making a positive change. And someone said to me once, actually, not long ago, do you think you're going to change the world? It's not going to happen. You can't take over corruption. You know that, don't you? I said, I don't want to change the world. I want to make a positive change within it to continue. If I can save one child, one person, that's one extra than what it was yesterday. So it doesn't matter. And then slowly, those one will become hundreds, they'll become thousands, they'll become a million. I have a fundraiser up at the moment for £1 million. And I will be donating £500,000 to Withenshaw Safe Spots to keep them running for the next 5 years. The work that they do is not given enough credit. To fix, well, you know, well, to help me heal, I'm not fixed, but I'm healed and gone through recovery. To help somebody like me, this child that was seen as rebellious, disgusting, dirty. Teachers used to tell me I'm a failure. I'm going to work in McDonald's. No disrespect to anybody working at McDonald's, but they make you feel like rubbish. And I was so angry at the world. And for all, if there's any teacher out there that has been horrible to a student, just please think twice, because my deputy still works in the school. She shouldn't be working in that school. And if she's listening today, I'm B, and this is where I'm at now, and you know who I am. And I hope you do hear this. I hope you do see this, because you were wrong. You were wrong. That's all I'm going to say. So I've got the £1 million fundraiser up, as I was saying, and it's for essential resources for young people in Withenshaw. That's including supporting safe spots, £500,000, and for accommodation, emergency accommodation, either a building or premises. I'm looking to house up to 4 families. I've been in a situation where I've had no help. Those children, I'm very lucky Safe Spots came at the right time, because my child could have been detrimented. It could have gone west. So that's the aim, and a safe space and a hub for young people to come, where I deliver trauma therapy, mentoring, motivational talking. I want to work with organisations as well, with horticulture, with art, with music, for those young people who want to get into music. If you look at the news now, and so much is going on, I'm not going to mention, but you know, in the music industry, a lot of young people are abused and taken advantage of. It's a safe, trustworthy space for those young people who have been affected by abuse, but they should have just as much chance as any other child. They're not no different. They're not no less. Some of us can't afford to do that. I want to be able to fund that, and that's where the money will be going towards resources just like that. Field trips and working with organisations.
We've got a resource here that you're already working with.
Yes, the Creator Space, James. James, if you're listening, thank you. I'm going to ring you soon. The Creator Space is amazing. I intend to also start a podcast this year in this space that is child friendly. It's very welcoming, it's fresh, it's renovated, and this is something Withenshaw needs. It needs to be utilised, and there is access to it, and that's where the project comes in. Project TOT will be utilising this space. I work closely with James, and thank you for all the support you've given me so far, James. You're a credit, and again, you're one of the people that have given me faith back in the very few men in roles that have never taken advantage and fulfilled what they said they'd do. So thank you for that. And I look forward to working with you with that. I do.
Tell me a little bit about what you do in schools and around the community.
So around the community, currently, so the pilot project went forward and it was a success for trauma therapy. And it's community field trips. So having children out in open spaces, regaining touch with nature. For example, how many of you can say you've milked a cow in the UK? Not many. How many have had an egg drop from a chicken out of its bottom? Not many. Just, you know, trauma, the trauma cycle, and breaking and disrupting that cycle is reconnecting with calm, positive emotions that a child finds soothing. And I didn't have that. I've had to learn that. And to just offer that to these children is a part of their healing, and that's very important. They will grow into men and women that are confident, and at that stage in their life, when they've been used to all this negative, aggressive, abusive environment, Project TOT offers this for those young people in the community that really need it, and that's what we're here for.
And that is part of the healing process. Mm-hmm. It's Breaking that cycle does require a support, a network that you can reach out to.
It does.
Because if you don't have that, you internalise, and that leads to addiction.
Addiction, self-harm.
Yeah.
I've been there, and I'm not afraid. I used to be so ashamed to say, oh, I've been through addictions and self-harming, but don't be ashamed. It's because you've not had the right support. And with schools, especially safeguarding units in schools, I want to work closely with to raise awareness on online safety. I have workshops around online safety, what abuse looks like, other interactive ways of emotional regulation, really getting to the root cause issue. Again, there's so many organizations out there that say, we'll help your child, we'll do this. They charge you an arm and a leg. I don't want to charge anybody, actually. I want to help those kids that need it. I want the help from you guys. There's a donation link on the website. It's www.projects-tot.org. Please click on that link, even if it's a pound. That's a pound going towards changing someone's life. Every pound counts. Every pound counts. We're on stage 4 at the moment. Again, my TikTokers are on. Thank you to every single one of you that's donated. You've played a massive part in getting this lifted off. We're not a service, it's a movement. We're here to stay. I've written a book as well, and that was throughout my childhood. It started as a diary through some severe abuse I went through, again, at a young age before I left home.